Okay, good morning, everyone. We're going to continue in Chagiga. We're on the sixth page on the second side, Vav Amud Beis. We'll continue from Rabbi Yishmael. Yeah. So we just finished looking at the unique features of Chagiga, Olas, and Simcha. Now we're going to double check that Rabbi Yishmael, we can really have a proof that he holds, like Beis Shammai and Reb Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer, depending on your girsa. And we'll see how successful we are in defending his proof. Rabbi Yishmael, my time mukmatli kabeis Shammai. Why did you set him up like Beis Shammai? Isakadaitach, if you thought Ola Shekruvu Yisrael b'midbar, that the Ola that the Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael brought in the Midbar was an Ola's Tamid Havai. Mi Ika Midi De Mikara Lo Bai Hefshit Bnei Tuach. So we said a lot. We said we're bringing back the logical proof we used to support that he held it was an Ola's Riyah. Because how can you say it's an Ola's Tamid? An Ola's Tamid, which would have been mandated by Hashem, would have been something permanently instituted. How could it be that initially when we offered it, it wouldn't have been cut up and it wouldn't have been skinned. But later, well, v'saif, after we got the instructions, remember this is, we got the instructions only in the Yoam Moed by Rabbi Yishmael, by Hefshit v'nituach, it changed. Then we did skin it. We did cut it up. So, therefore, from that, we had proven, we thought, that Rabbi Yishmael held like Beis Shammai, because it couldn't be the all this time, it had to be this Riyah, because it wouldn't be something that would change. Something we were in this context, something that was mandated, it wouldn't change. V'ha Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. But wait a second. Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, Da'amar Ola Shekriv Yisrael B'Midbar Olas Tamid Havai, who actually did say that they brought an Olas Tamid in the Midbar. Mi Kar Lo Bai Hefshit V'Nituach. By him, it's the same idea. He would have acknowledged that they wouldn't have had all the details initially. They wouldn't have skinned it and cut it up. But in the end, after they got the instructions, they would have had to skin it and cut it up. But ultimately, what are we pointing out? We're pointing out that but he still held that they brought in Olas Tamid. In other words, the fact that it changed did not exclude Rabbi Yossi Galili from establishing it as an Olas Tamid. So we see that what we thought was unassailable logic to support Rabbi Yishmael holding like Beis Shammai, that was Olas Riyah, because it wouldn't. He simply wouldn't have held that we would have brought an Olas Tamid if it was going to change. We see that a different Tana didn't find that a reason to reject. He still held that they brought an Olas Tamid at the beginning, even though it did change. So since Rabbi Yossi Galili is holding it, we can't be so sure that Rabbi Yishmael would not hold it. So therefore, we don't necessarily have a proof anymore that Rabbi Yishmael held like Beis Shammai. So if we just finish up this section, we have a brisa which shows Rabbi Yossi Galili holds. Tesanya, Rabbi Yossi Galili Omer, Ola Shekrivu Yisrael b'Midbar, the Ola that Bnei Yisrael brought on the Midbar, Ena Tuuna Hefshit v'Nituach. It didn't require what it later require, which is the skinning and dismembering. Lefisha Ein Hefshit v'Nituach Ela Meo Amoy Ve'ilach. Actually, that only applied from the Ola Moed and afterwards. So at the end of the day, we see that this is not, that we can no longer prove that because Rabbi Yishmael held that we didn't get the details of until the Ola Moed, and therefore the Olas Tamid would have had to have changed. We can no longer prove that Rabbi Yishmael holds that we didn't bring an Olas Tamid. So therefore, we're going to say Same Mikan Rabbi Yishmael. So in the initial brisa that listed sort of the battle lines, Rabbi Yishmael with Rabbi Shammai and Reb Elazar or Rabbi Eliezer, depending on the girsa, versus Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel and Rabbi Yossi, we no longer can have Rabbi Yishmael there. So we're actually going to take him out from that list. We're not necessarily sure that Rabbi Yishmael did hold the way he held, and as much as we can't find a source for it. But yeah, it's out of that brisa. Okay, so that section we're leaving, and we're going to continue now with a particular verse. I'm going to read it to us because it's a grammatical issue. Basically, there are going to be two clauses and a final word. The question is, does the final word refer to both clauses, both previous clauses? Or does it refer only to the most recent, the latter clause, as they say, the second clause? So Vayishlach es Nahari bin Israel, Vayalu Olos, Vayizbichu Vizvachim Lashlamim Lashem, Parim. Okay, so the key thing is here, we have Parim at the end. The first phrase, or first clause, is Vayishlach es Nahari bin Israel, Vayalu Olos. This is the verse we've been dealing with. The second clause is Vayizbichu Vizvachim Lashlamim Lashem. Okay, so let's just break it up. Vayalu Olos, first clause. And the second one, Vayizbichu Zvachim Lashlamim, second clause. So, Parim, is that describing both the Shlamim, the second clause, and the first clause, the Olos? Did we bring up bulls in both cases? Or is the verse just telling us that the Shlamim were bulls, but we can assume something else for the Olos? So, by Rav Chizda asked, Haikra, Hechikasiv, how does this verse work? Vayishlach es Nahari bnei Yisrael vayilo olos. This first clause, should we assume that they were kvasim, that they brought sheep? Or vayizbichu zvachim shlamim l'Hashem parim? Well, really according to that, then parim only works in the second clause. But perhaps, o dilma, idi v'idi parim habu. Really, parim refers to both clauses, we brought poles in both cases. So, the Kabar asks, they might ask me now, oh, what difference does it make? Well, Marzucha says, Amar, the fisuk ta'amim, well, what, figuring out and how we're going to sing the verse, it matters, the cantillation marks will be different. Rav Acha bereid the Amar, la'imer, if someone's going to say the following vow, Hari alai ola ka'ola, so the person would say, behold, there is upon me to bring an Ola, like the Ola, Shekruvi Yisrael b'Midbar. Just the same Ola that was brought in the Midbar, this person wants the vow upon himself. If he were to make that vow, the question would basically be, my. Rav Kiz's question would relate and tell us what he has to actually bring. Parim Havu? Would he bring bulls? Because Parim of the verse refers even to the first clause. Oh, kvasim habu, or would he only bring, say, lambs, because parim does not refer to the first verse. So this is a tiku. We will wait till Eliyahu comes. Okay.
So you mean they could replace one with the other without any...
In terms of whether you bring sheep or bulls for the olos. So, well, we're not sure. It seems later we might bring, we would bring kvasim for an olos. But now, but in the Midbar, it seems we're not sure what they brought. Did they bring bulls, or did they bring...
Was there a significance to bringing a bull or a lamb, or was it just whatever was available? I don't understand why one or the other, or both, or none. I don't understand why...
The Torah tells us.
Huh?
The Torah tells us which one.
Yeah, I know, but why one a lamb, or what difference does it make a bull or a lamb? Does it signify anything?
Yeah, I'm sure it does signify a lot. I have a date with Rabbi Hirsch, who writes beautifully about it in Vayikra, and I haven't got there yet to read his symbolism. But if that's a source I can give you, which
there
speaks very, very profoundly, I know,
okay,
about it. But these things. Jenith, okay, yeah, I mean, it would probably depend somewhat on the type of offering as well.
So an Israeli brings an offering. Would he bring what he has at home, because that's what he's got?
No, there's specific.
Oh, so
I suppose he doesn't have a bull. He has only lamb. Can he do it?
No.
So
why not?
In general,
sets, which
depends on the offering.
Some even have to bring the right sets.
In general, it depends on So they're very specific. Hashem laid out exactly which animals go for which offering. So, but in the Midbar, we're not sure which was used for the Olos in the Midbar. In other words, back in the Midbar, we weren't sure which did they bring. Generally speaking, I mean, there is a whole question. I don't know if we want to spend time on it. We can maybe spend a brief minute or two on it. What is a korban? What is the animal signifying? I mean, there is a lot to be said here. See what we can do. I mean, usually the there's a there's a what is the point of carbon? So a carbon, generally speaking, there's a Gemara in Chulin. There's a Gemara in Chulin which speaks out that, generally speaking, we can imagine that the animal is taking our place on the Mizbeach.
Yeah.
And certainly by Chatas, it's straightforward enough to understand that when we sinned, we should have, by Midas Adin, that should have been our end. That how could we separate ourselves from Hashem to such an extent that we would go against His will? But there's more to it, in as much as so that the couple of details I'll add. The Chovas Levavos speaks out that when you do, there are two types of sins. There's a shogeg and a mezid. Okay, a shogeg is an inadvertent sin. A mezid is an intentional sin. Now, a shogeg, he speaks out basically what's happening. Let's say the inner mechanisms, inner workings of a person that's happening right now, is that you have two parts of you. You have the divine soul Hashem gave you, and you have the animalistic part of you, the body. We know that the Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara, the human conditions, we understand is an interplay, a war, as it were, between these two parts of us. Now, the difference between a shogeg and a mezid in these terms is as follows. In a shogeg, I mistakenly, perhaps carelessly, end up sinning, but not through intentionality. The divine soul Hashem gave me wasn't actively defeated, as it were, by the muscle. Didn't actively go along to actively intentionally do whatever it was that I did. Whereas by amazed, the divine soul that I had, the real Bechira Hashem gave me, that mirrors Hashem Himself, I used to go against Hashem. I let the animal soul take control of it, and I used it for the purpose of the animal soul, or the animal part of me. Now, what does that mean? That means that when I do a shogeg, I didn't necessarily directly defile my divine soul to the extent that I did to it for a mezid. Now, where it comes out for karbanos is that really I'm only going to bring a chatas by a shogeg. I lose the opportunity to bring a chatas when I do a mezid. Hashem doesn't give me that opportunity. Now, a couple of questions on the point. are as follows. One, there is a Gemara that says that when someone feels shame after he sins, all his sins are forgiven. If you feel shame, your sins are forgiven. So the question is, well, why do I need the opportunity for a carbon, the carbon chatas? If all I have to do is feel shame, what's the point of this carbon chatas?
Right.
And so let's go with that question for now. So the question is, I only have this opportunity to do it, to bring a carbon chatas when I sin the shogeg, but it seems that I don't even need a carbon chatas since I can just feel shame. So it seems it comes out like this. I'll just reference a story so it helps bring out the point. We know in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah there are numerous, three that come to mind, stories about people who earn their Olam Haba in a moment. Right? So there's a story in particular. Why don't we bring out the story of Reb Elazar ben Derdia? We'll keep it clean, straightforward. But basically, as much as we can. As best we can. Okay, so Reb Elazar ben Derdia is really just Elazar ben Derdia. That's his name. He really had sunk to a certain level where he was basically lost control. Whenever there was a woman that he could visit, he would visit. He would go. He would journey across seven rivers if he had to. And one day, that's what he did. He heard that there was an opportunity for him to do so. He packed purses of gold, and he took this huge, long journey. Must have been a difficult journey, right? A real difficult journey. But he had to do it. He was compelled to do it. And just as he was about to begin his interaction with this woman, breath came out, and the woman said that just like this breath has left where it comes from, its source, and will never return, so too Reb Elazar ben Derdia, if he goes ahead with this, will never return to do teshuva, is the idea. So that's the way that Reb Elazar ben Derdia understood it. So instead of going through with the act, he leaves, he sits down between two, in a valley between two mountains, and he cries and cries and he cries, and he's asking for mercy from all the various sort of things that he can think of, all the big creations Hashem made, heaven and earth, the mountains, and each thing says basically that my time here on earth is limited. I was really only created for your sake. I'm not. How can I ask for mercy on your behalf? In other words, the impurity, after basically going to everything outside of himself, which he thinks will help him find mercy from Hashem, he realizes, he says, it's all on him. He realizes it's all upon me. He finally takes responsibility that it all was dependent upon him. So all the sins, all the distance he had from Hashem, or all those years, which we can infer took no responsibility for. This is who I am. This is the way Hashem created me. What can I do? He realized that really he, the entire time, it was up to him to beseech mercy for himself, to find his area of free will within himself, to defeat the animal side within himself. And so this is where he puts his hands in his heads, and his head in his hands, and he cries and cries and cries and cries and cries, and his soul departs. And a baskol, a voice from Shemayim, comes out and says, Rabbi, Elazar ben Derdi has earned his share in the world to come. After all these stories, there's a sort of beautiful, subtle, common statement by Rebbe. Right? Rebbe says, Rebbe cries himself as he recalls the story, as it were, and he says, some people earn their Olam Haba in many, many years, slowly, painstakingly is the implication, step by step, whereas other people earn it in a moment. And we know by Rebbe, he suffered tremendously, although he did the most amazing things in the world. One example, he had a terrible, terrible, the Gemara talks in Bava Metzia, I believe it is, talks about terrible pains that he went through, terrible toothache, terrible, it seems that when he went to the washroom, it was terribly painful. And so we see nonetheless, Rebbe's showing us there's just two ways to earn Olam Haba. Now, I'm skipping a number of things here, but which would make it a bit more, maybe bring the point home a little better, but let's go right for it. The point is that we ask the question, why do I need the opportunity to do a Karban Chatas when I can do Teshuvah without it? And also, why is it only by a Shogig and not by a Mezi? So again, we're going a little on the surface, but I think it's still, and we can get to the meat a little bit here. Bottom line is, it comes out this way. We know that the Gemara says that one moment of Teshuvah and Ma'isim Tovim is better than all of Olam Haba. One moment here of Teshuvah and Ma'isim Tovim is better than Olam Haba. On the other hand, all of Olam Haba, one moment in Olam Haba, one pleasurable moment of Olam Haba is better than all the pleasure in this world combined. As the famous exercise there of Simcha Zizel, famous father of the Muslim movement, he gets us to imagine one pleasurable moment, and we multiply it between all, from all the people in the room and all the people in the city and all the people in this year and the entire world forever. Put that one side of the scale, put one moment of Olam Haba on the other side, right? So we have our scale with one moment of Olam Haba, with the pleasure there in just completely outweighing all the pleasure in this world. But now let's finish off the equation. Take one moment of Ma'isim Tovim and Teshuvah in this world, right? Replace all the pleasure in this world, put it on the scale, and now it's going to weigh down the one moment of in Olam Haba. So with that in mind, let's think about how valuable every moment in this world is. If I give a Karban Chatas, and I see, keeping it simple, I see that I myself really should have been there. I see that this animal who didn't sin, this animal who really I've provided basically nothing for, nonetheless Hashem can appropriate the animal to serve him nonetheless. This animal has to give over its life to such an extent. It's right in the divine justice, this animal should give over its life, so, right? Even though this animal basically, on the surface, Hashem would, what claim is, why is Hashem doing this? It seems like he has no claim, but he has every claim on it. So we're reflecting on how much more so us, who Hashem has given everything to, Hashem, every second of every day, he's created us, he's created every pleasurable moment that we've ever had, he's created a place for us in Olam Haba if we earn it, he's created everything, he's given us everything, and we ourselves who sinned, how much more so are we obligated to give ourselves to be Mesiris Nefesh to Hashem? So we're reflecting on this. We're reflecting on the fact that we should have been there instead of the animal. And the idea seems to be, the Yismach Moshe brings, that we could have earned our Olam Haba. We have an opportunity to earn our Olam Haba in a moment here. That's the whole point. That it could be an instrument to bring us to Teshuvah in a moment. And thereby, we're going to gain the rest, hopefully, so much more time to actually do Teshuvah and Ma'isim Tovim, to do good deeds and to earn this profound, beautiful opportunity of Olam Haba, because we're not going to be wasting our time. It's not going to take us so long to do Teshuvah. And that's the general idea behind Karbanos. And
how would that bring us, that connection to Olam Haba, the Karbanos?
So the idea is, at least by the Karban Chatas, we're saying that if you... because you're observing that Hashem is appropriating this animal, even though on the surface it would seem Hashem would, as it were, have no claim on it, you realize, although Hashem has much more of a claim on you, on one hand because you sinned in this context, and two, just simply because the animal, you've done nothing to the animal, and yet the animal is replacing you. But Hashem, it's a kal vachomer. If the animal can be used to help you in your service of Hashem, how much more so are you required to give over yourself in your service of Hashem? There's a profound realization that we're supposed to have as you within the opportunity of bringing the carbon of this carbon to help you, spur you on to do a teshuvah and thereby earn your olam haba in a moment, rather than having to slowly try to get to the level where you're feeling shame if you're not holding there. And really, you may end up wasting a lot of time and losing a lot of opportunity. You know, in other words, if you can really earn your olam haba in a moment, you really do teshuva in that moment. You put your head in your hands and you cry and you cry and you cry and you realize the gravity of what you've done. You realize the gravity of what you've done. Then you've now bought yourself all this time to actually do mitzvahs and to actually live like a tzaddik. We talked about the other day. The goal isn't to die like a tzaddik. The goal is to live like one. And the reward, right? You have the reward. One moment of teshuva and meisim tovim in this world is better than all the pleasure in this world. It's better than a moment of pleasure in olam haba. So now, if you have all this time and you've actually done teshuva, you have a tremendous opportunity to earn olam haba.
So is the karbon supposed to replace the teshuva or the teshuva?
No, it's always supposed to spur.
So complementary to each other.
So we're saying that the karbon in this case would spur teshuva, and it's the experience of this animal losing its life.
Yeah.
Again, we were given the kal vachomer.
So you have to be in a particular fit. Well, when they used to do it, now we don't.
Well, that may explain why we don't do it anymore to some extent. Right. That we've lost.
We lost that frame of mind.
We lost the frame of mind to even appreciate that the mesirah shenefesh of these.
Okay.
So, anyways, yeah, we can look at this. There's a beautiful list of exactly how the system works. Maybe we'll go over it after sin. Okay, let's go on with the Gemara. Tanan Hasam. So we're at the bottom of Vav Amud Beis. Tanan Hasam. We learned in a Mishnah. So this is a famous Mishnah. We read it when we do Birchas HaTorah in the morning, where it's customary to try to learn after you do the Birchas HaTorah without interruption, to learn scripture verses, Mishnah and Gemara. Just like when you do a bracha, so you say a general bracha, you try to follow it up without interruption. So if I say a bracha to eat something, I try to eat without interrupting. So if you want to say Birchas HaTorah, which we should be saying some learning immediately after, especially if we're Ashkenazi. So we're going to bring the mission that we were saying in the morning. Eli devarim she'ein lahem shir. The following things have no measure, no specific number. Hapeya vebikurim v'arayim ugumidis chasadim v'tam v'samatayra. Okay, so all of these things we're saying have no measure. Now it could be interpreted to say that they have no upper limit. In other words, let's say meisim tovim, right? The more meisim tovim you do, the more times you visit the sick, the more times you do good deeds, then the better person you are, the higher level you're holding at, the more you're doing Hashem's will. Even if you're basically doing an incredible amount, generally speaking, you can always be doing it. You're always going to get more schar. So that's an upper limit. On the other hand, we might have thought by peya, let's speak out a lower limit here. Really, from a Torah perspective, by peya and by bikurim, there's no real lower limit. So peya is when we leave over a certain amount of our field for the poor. I could have just left over one single stalk, and I could have taken 99.9% of it, and I'd be yotzi, technically, the mitzvah. The rabbis have said that you have to leave a 60th. They said, the Rambam brings by bikurim as well. But at the end of the day, in theory, there's no lower limit per se either. As soon as you do a little bit, that's considered to have done it. So you could interpret the Mishnah saying there's no upper limit. You could interpret it saying there's no lower limit as well. Lower limit, of course, being as soon as you do a smallest amount, you'd be yotzi. So let's look at this in a little more depth. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kisvurin anilomar. So kisvurin, we considered saying... Harayon ein lo shiur lamala. We would have thought that the Rayon, there's no maximum limit. Now, we should speak out on this idea of the Rayon. Now, what's it referring to? It could be two elements. Is it referring to going up for the regal? Perhaps to make an appearance in the courtyard, even once you're in Yerushalayim, to keep going to the temple courtyard. And two, perhaps it also refers to bringing an olas re'iyah. It actually refers to bringing, there's no limit, I can bring a re'iyah over and over and over and over and over and over again. Every time I bring, basically, a carbon when I come to appear at the courtyard, I there may be no shear. And there's like a mitzvah every time I bring a carbon. Okay, so there's two elements to this. One, can I appear in the temple courtyard over a festival as much as I want, because there's no upper limit? And two, can I bring carbon every time I appear, every time I want, and I'll get the schar of a mitzvah? So, okay, so anyways, Rabbi Yochanan saying, we would have thought that there's no maximum limit. I could, let's say in a general sense, appear as much as I want. Perhaps, we'll see in a moment, bring a carbon every time I want. Rabbi Yochanan technically doesn't hold of that.
One time a day.
So every time I appear in the temple courtyard, so if I went to Yerushalayim, I wanted to visit the temple. If I visited it twice, let's keep it simple. Over the festival, I visited it the first day, I visited it the second day, I visited it the third day. Each time I would bring a carbon.
Within a day, could you do it more than once?
I'm not sure. Okay. Avo yesh l'shir lamata. But certainly you would have had to, we said that the value of the carbon has to be a silver mock, according to Beis Hillel. So I would have thought that here in this case, the value has to be a certain limit. I'm not going to be yotzi if it's not. I'm not going to be considered to be, if done the mitzvah, if it's not a certain amount. That would be the lower limit here. Ad shebar Rabbi Oshaya, but Rabbi v'limid, until the great scholar, Rabbi Oshaya, came and learned out. Harayin ein lo shir lo lamala v'lo lamata. There's no maximum nor minimum measure, biblically, for the Rayan. Avo chachamim omrim, Harayin ma kesef v'chagiga shtei kesef. He's pointing out that this whole argument we saw between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai about the value of the korban is actually a dirabanan. Remember, it's not biblical. So what that whole argument before was purely dirabanan.
Are we still in the frame of
Shammai
and Hillel, or is this?
We left it behind. We're working with Beis Hillel at this point. But it relates to the previous argument that they had. Okay, so my Harayan, what's the meaning of the Ryan? So is it appearing, or is it appearing with an offering? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, so we're going to Machlaikis, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Riyas Panim Bazara. Just appear in the temple courtyard, that will make you Yotzi, the mitzvah of Riyah. And you could do it again and again. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's side. Reish Lakish is going to say that you have to appear with even a carbon. Reish Lakish Amar, Riyas Panim Bekarbon. So you're not just going to be appearing in the temple courtyard, you're even bringing an olas riyah every time you go. Let's presume, to keep it simple, every day. Every time, new day you go, you'll bring one. Be'ikar regal, basically the first day. Be'ikar regal we're going to use over and over again to refer to the first day. Kulei alma lo pligi. This is the Gemara trying to understand the machlekes. No one disagrees. Darius punin b'karbon. That the first day, both even Rabbi Yochanan says you have to bring a carbon to be yotzi the mitzvah of harayin or harayin. Ki pligi. Where do they argue? The Gemara says b'shar yimos regal. Okay, this is a havamina for the record. We're going to change it later. But right now we're saying it must be that Rabbi Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan argue on the second day and on. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan says you're still going to be yotzi the mitzvah if you just appear in the courtyard. But Reish Lakish says you're only going to be yotzi again, because they're saying it doesn't have a shiur. So I'm only going to be yotzi again if I bring carbon the next days. Kol heichad asav aiti. Anytime you come and bring an offering, kuliyama lo pligi to mekablina mine. Everyone agrees that we take the offering. We don't say no thanks. What do we disagree about? Ki pligi to asav lo aiti. If you come and you don't bring an offering. That's what we're arguing about. The Rabbi Yochanan Savar, Rias Panim Bazara. Rabbi Yochanan says that Rias Panim, that people, that basically if you would, the mitzvah would be appearing in the Azara, with, even if you don't have a carbon. The Chol Emas Da'asi Lo Tzarif La'atuye. If you want to come without an offering, we'll still, it seems like we would still we would still, I'm not sure if we would still let you in, or it sounds like we would even give you the mitzvah. In other words, if you, it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan would say, in other words, I guess it's fairly logical. In other words, if Rabbi Yochanan holds it by appearing in the courtyard, you get the mitzvah, you're not going to lose the mitzvah because you brought a carbon. Yeah?
Yeah.
Whereas Reish Lakish will say, Reish Lakish amar riyas panim the carbon. The mitzvah is that only if you bring a carbon, even from day two and on.
That's the only time it's
going to appear, don't appear empty handed.
Ah, so they're going to we're going to challenge, I think that's one of the challenges. Well, yes, the Gemara is going to use that challenge against Rabbi Yochanan. He'll get around it. He'll say it's the first day, exactly. So Dekol Emas the Asi Tzarich Letuyeh. So Reish Lakish says you're only yotzi the mitzvah from day two and on if you bring. It's not just enough to appear. You have to bring the carbon. Because Rabbi Yochanan says you won't get disqualified if you bring the carbon from the mitzvah, but you don't need to get the mitzvah. Reish Lakish says. Well, there is a thing of like Baal Tosef, like you can't, don't add, you know, there's a Kohen can't add a fourth, they're saying, as a Kohen, I'm going to bless you with a fourth blessing, this great new fourth blessing. You can't say Shema Tosef, but...
I mean, if the double you bring it or not, and you bring it...
Yeah, in this case, I'm saying there may have been a Havamina, but yeah, it's going like what you're saying. So we're not disqualifying him because he's bringing a carbon, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? Here we're going to challenge Rabbi Yochanan now. Esav Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. So look at this. What do we know? V'lo yira'u fanei rikam. Reish Lakish says it's very clear. You shouldn't appear empty handed before Hashem. So what does he say? Rabbi Yochanan says Amar le biker regel. Yeah, on the first day you got to bring carbon. I agree with you. Doesn't mean afterwards. Okay, let's see another challenge. Aceve. Okay, this time it looks like we're bringing a price. Velo ye ra ufana irikam. Again, we're quoting the same verse. This time it's from the Brisa. Bizvachim. So don't appear empty handed before me. Rather bring zvachim, bring slaughtered offerings.
It also says according to your means type. It
didn't say yeah.
It did say like that's what we read anyway. Bring each one should bring according to his means. So that means there's no really value in it.
I'm not sure the source is for, we said midrash, there's no lower limit. I'm not sure.
Well, that's
I'm
according sure. to each.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not sure what that verse would, I'm not sure what specifically the verse is used for, but it could be that we use that for the lower limit. Ata oimer bizvachim, you say, so the price is going on, you say that it's referring to the offerings. But perhaps not. Ela ba'oifos u'menachos. Maybe you could even fulfill it with birds or a meal offering. We bring according to your means. If you don't have enough for animals, bring birds. And if you don't have enough for birds, bring meal offerings. But dinhu, however, logic dictates that animals are required. Nemre chagiga lehadya, for it says chagiga for a regular person a hadya. Nemre ri'ya legavoa. And it says the Riyah is brought to Hashem, the oldest Riyah is for Hashem. So, ma chagiga mor lehedyot zvachim, just like the carbon that's brought for the ordinary person refers to a slaughtered animal, af Riyah hamor legavoa zvachim. So, too, for Hashem, you should bring a slaughtered animal. So, the Brisa seems to be saying, don't bring less than what you're going to do for a person to Hashem, it seems. Umahein zvachim. So, what are we talking about? What specific offerings of animals are we bringing? Oilos, referring specifically to oilos here. Okay. So the Brisa seems to be saying, therefore, you have to bring by an oilos. Don't think you don't have to bring an animal. Ata imer oilos. So maybe we were saying it refers the zvachim refers to oilos here. Ela shlami. But maybe, in fact, it does. When it says zvachim, it shouldn't refer to shlamim to olos. It should have referred only to shlamim. So v'dinhu. Well, logically, even if you want to entertain that idea, nemre chagiga lehadyo, same idea. But just like we say by chagiga, we're talking about a chagiga is prescribed for hadyo. But nemre ri'ya legavoa, we're prescribing a ria for Hashem. Ma chagiga mor lehadyo. Just as you have to bring it, you're bringing an animal so that a person can eat eat it by a chagiga. It's, you bring someone that's fitting for him, for that person. Afriya hamur the gavura, so too the other surya that you bring for Hashem, baroilo. It should be, it should, you should bring something that's fitting for him, which we're going to refer, is referring to an ola. V'chein bedin, and continually it's reasonable. Shelo yeheshlu chancha male, because your table should not be full. V'shulchan rabicha rikam, while your table, while your massive table is empty. At the end of the day, we're saying that it seems like this. It sounds. This last part in particular we'll focus on, that don't, if you're bringing a meal for yourself, if you're going to the temple and bringing a chagiga, don't think that you shouldn't be bringing an olasriya, because you should be bringing something that they can fulfill your own belly. Well, there's nothing for Hashem. So it sounds like, again, according to Reish Lakish, therefore every time you go you should be bringing a ri'ya. Amarle Fikr Rego. So same comeback, same deflection. It's true. Your logic is great. The price is referring only to the first day. If when you, and the first day is when you have to bring your chagiga. So when you bring your chagiga, that's when you have to bring an olasriya. But perhaps even later on, you're not even bringing a chagiga the second time you go. So why do you have to bring an olasriya? Okay, let's see another challenge. Isave. How are we doing on time, gentlemen? Okay, finish up with this. Isave. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shalosh Regalim Bashana. There are three festivals in the year. Nitzavu Yisrael Alos Beregel, and the Jews are commanded to ascend to Jerusalem for the festivals. B'chag Matzos, B'chag Shavuos, B'chag Sukkos, on their three festivals. Ve Nir and Chatzin, but you shouldn't appear in halves. Mishim Shenemar Kol Zechurcha, because it stated all your menfolk. So it sounds like don't come. Bring everyone, not only half. Ve'inam near and rekanim. Don't appear empty-handed. Mishum shenemar v'lo yirau fanei rekam. Don't come before me empty-handed. Again, same source that Shelley pointed out over and over again. Don't appear before me empty-handed. Amarle, Rabbi Yochanan's going to say the usual be'ikar harego. That verse refers to the first day. Therefore, afterwards, you're not obligated. Okay, we'll leave it there. Tomorrow we'll see how they resolve it. They're going to change what they hold.